Welcome to the Group Home Riches Podcast. If you have the desire to be your own boss, create your own schedule, and become financially free while at the same time helping people in need, then you've come to the right place. At GroupHomeRiches.com, we teach people exactly like yourself how to get started in the group home business. And on this podcast, you're going to hear their stories firsthand. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Group Home Riches Podcast. On today, we have a guest named John. John is a Gold Course member. And just going through our email history, John, I could tell, I think we're going to have a pretty inspirational story today.
Yes, definitely.
Thanks for coming on. Don't you?
It's good to be here.
Introduce yourself to the folks out there.
Hey, my name is Jonathan Ronke. I'm originally from South Florida. I've been up in New Jersey for about 8-9 years. I got the course probably a year ago-ish. And I actually have my first sober living home going on eight months now.
So that was a quick start. So got it. And then within a couple months, you were rocking and rolling.
Yeah, man, I definitely was. So I lived in Newark, New Jersey for 8 years renting. So basically, I was just saving money and getting in position to buy a property, right? So I started listening to a lot of Dave Ramsey. Like Dave Ramsey, if you don't know about Dave Ramsey, like the guy like changed my life. So I had a lot of debt. Like I really like clinged on to his teachings, got out of debt, really started saving money, like really, you know, being militant about saving money. So saved up a nice chunk of cash and got a down payment for a nice property in West Caldwell. So originally I was thinking, you know, the house hack thing, like I was looking for like a multifamily. I wasn't really thinking about it. A sober living home at that time, just more like a multifamily or something. But anyways, I found a property in West Caldwell and it's sitting on an acre of land. It's got two single family homes on it. So
nice.
Yeah. So my original plan was I was just going to live in the back and rent the front to like regular lease to a family or something. But like I said, I'm from South Florida originally. And a lot of my, I mean, if you don't know, down there is like sober living home capital of the world. So I had friends in the business and like it's something I always wanted to do. So basically, you know, I started talking to my wife about it. She wasn't real excited about the idea with, you know, like you guys say, like the neighbor. So West Caldwell is like a nicer neighborhood of New Jersey, right? So she was concerned about the neighbors and the city and stuff. But like, I'm the type of guy, like the way you teach, like just jump into it, right? So, you know, I talked her into it and that's what I did, man. Just did it.
Well, let's rewind a little bit. We'll get into kind of like the details on like how you found the property, how you found the tenants and kind of, you know, your wife probably had the same kind of questions and objections that everybody else has, like probably a lot of people listening. So we'll kind of dive into that. But before we get into that, like just before you even got the gold course, you know, what made you even find us? You know, what drove you to even start looking this stuff up? Because we're not typically just like found on accident. Like we don't really pop up unless you're really specifically, you know, looking to start up like a group home or a sober living home. So what kind of, let's take it back to that. Like what made you even, how did you find us in the first place? So what made you start looking?
Yeah, like I guess I've heard this before. So basically, yeah, I went down that rabbit hole of the laws and the, you know, all this good stuff, which, you know, is like a never ending black hole. So I don't remember exactly how you guys popped up. Somewhere I found you. I can't recall exactly, but as soon as I seen it, I don't know, I thought it was very reasonable for what you get, which it is. The knowledge is great. So basically, I didn't really hesitate too much. I definitely wanted to learn more. Like, I really needed to know, like, how everything worked, which, man, I just followed it to a T, really. I just really studied it, you know, took all the advice. And yeah, man, I'm glad I did find it. Definitely. So
what drove you to do it? You said you had friends in the business and it was just something that you kind of always in the back of your mind, or what was the motivation?
Yeah, so a little bit about me is, so I'm in recovery myself since 2010. I basically started very young, around 12 or 13. I started drinking and, you know, smoking weed. You know, I had a rough childhood. Had a lot of anger built up, just hanging around the wrong crowds. Got in a lot of trouble. By 13, I was actually locked up for my first time in juvenile detention, and it just progressed. So basically, like through my teens, I was in and out of juvenile detention. I was in and out of county jail constantly, just like the drugs progressed, my crimes progressed. That was just the life I was in. And I graduated. I was in all these programs and halfway houses and all this stuff. Went to prison, really been in and out of the system. I probably lost 10 years to the system altogether. So I basically knew, like, I knew you guys talking about different demographics and all that. Like, I knew for a fact exactly the demographic I was going with because that was me, right? So I know how these guys think, and I could deal with these guys. I knew what it was that I wanted to do. Thank God today my life is not like that. I got a beautiful family. Like I said, I got a lot of blessings in my life today. And it's all because, you know, I got sober, and that's what I do today. I try to help these guys. So one of the first times I went to a meeting, a guy, I didn't have anything. I had a backpack, dead broke. And the guy picked me up every day for like 30 days. He had a brand new Lexus, you know, family, he had a house. I was like, how does this even happen? Like, I had no idea how to get these things, like, because, you know, I just lived so savagely for so long. But yeah, so basically it attracted me to, if this guy could do it, I could do it, right? So, you know, it took time, but when I put everything down, it really changed my life. All these blessings started to come in my life. So yeah, like I was saying, these guys now, they can see, like, they know that I'm one of them, and they see how my life is blessed and, you know, how I can help them get to that spot too, if they want it, right? So it's just something that I'm the right guy for, you know what I mean? So.
So you were probably living kind of in and out of properties like this.
Definitely. Yeah, South Florida. Yeah, I've been through all the circuit. So, like I said, I had friends down there that I knew a lot of the owners, and a lot of owners are in recovery as well. So, yeah, it's just always something I really wanted to do. And then in Jersey, it's not like South Florida at all. Up here, you know, there's a handful of them. There's not, down there, there's millions of them. So, it's definitely a need up here for them. So I saw that, and yeah, I'm glad I took that step.
So this guy that was, you know, bringing you to the meetings and stuff in the Lexus, was he a home operator himself?
No, he was just one of the guys in the program. But, like, you know, he was just one of those guys that you meet that really want to help you with no strings attached, right? Like, these guys you meet on the street, right? It's like, what do you have? If you don't have anything, buy, right? So, like, he knew I didn't have anything, but that's how these guys are in this program. You know, they really got their hearts out to help people, even though, like, you're not in a position to help them back. So, and he was just like me at one time, right? So, and so once I seen that, like, I was like, if he could do it, I could do it. And that's where I want to be, because I can't live like this no more. I mean, end up dead or in prison for life. So thank God I made that choice to change my life.
Yeah, congrats. A lot of people don't.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
So the guy in the program seems like he was probably pretty well off, and that was like, it kind of made it real for you.
Yeah, yeah, he was doing very well. And yeah, it just gave me hope, I guess you could say, because I was just so hopeless for so long. You know, the people that were in that life would understand, like, hope is a big thing. Peace of mind is like one of my greatest gifts today. You know, it's a lot of small things people take for granted, but, like, if you've been in those positions, like, just really grateful, you know, for small things.
Absolutely. I'm guessing, like, you're kind of, one of your motivations is kind of be like what that guy was to you. You want to be for the guys. You
know, exactly. Yeah. So that's what I do. You know, I like I said, I'm a recovery. So I go to meetings. I give them rise of meetings. I'm sponsoring a guy in the house right now. Yeah. I'm really there for them. And, you know, it takes the right person to do that, but, you know, I enjoy it. The fact of the matter is 80% of the guys won't make it, but the one or two that does, you know, it's really means a lot.
Yeah. Those are the real riches. That's what we talk about. Like, you'll see sometimes in, like, the emails and the blog posts and stuff, you'll see, and you kind of hit the nail on the head. Not everybody that comes into these homes are going to, like, turn their lives around, but we do it for the folks that really are going to, you know, work their programs or rehab or what have you. And that's what, you know, really drove Andy, was like the letters or the text messages that he gets from someone that was living in one of his properties, and they've completely turned their lives around. So
yeah,
it's very cool. And all right, so you had, like, was this guy kind of like a mentor to you? Like, Is he the one that told you about Dave Ramsey and just...
Nah, he didn't really tell me about that. But yeah, he was at my wedding. He's basically like, you know, I could call him for anything, for advice. He's just one of my best friends, you know what I mean? Be there for anything. Like, I know he would always be there for me. And like I said, I never allowed those people in my life because of the life I was living. So, you know, today I got a good network of guys like that, that just do anything for you and really care. And give me advice. Like, when I'm thinking something, that he'll call me on it and he'll say, we won't sugarcoat it. And that's what I need. You know what I mean? I need people to tell me like that. Yeah. So,
not a yes man.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you definitely. This is why I always encourage our new students, especially folks that, like, you know, they don't have a property, or they don't, you know, they don't have capital to purchase a property or something like that. Go to real estate meetups. And it's kind of nerve wracking. I think a lot of people think that it's going to be like Shark Tank, but you'll find like a lot of successful people, once they kind of get to that, like, they're financially free, they really want to give back to people that want to learn. Like, I've met a ton of guys like that when I was pretty nervous to go to them, but just, you know, I needed to learn. So I went. So that's a great way for folks out there, not just to find like landlords to work with or partner with, but you can really find, like, you know, mentors out there that'll kind of teach you this stuff, right?
Yeah, that is gold right there. Exactly.
So you actually lived in, you know, halfway homes or probably sober homes as well while you were working programs. Mm-hmm. You met this guy who was like kind of like the mentor, started reading Dave Ramsey, started, you know, saving money up, probably working on your credit and stuff like that. And
then
it sounds like, were you looking into doing real estate first?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's something I always want to do, but like I said, I didn't know a lot about it. I still don't know a lot about it. So it's kind of like this business, like you say, you kind of fall into it, right? So
yeah, exactly. Eventually you just kind of become a real estate investor out of necessity.
Yeah. So yeah, that's definitely sounds great to me, you know, so I'm learning every day about, you know, this thing. So it's great.
What was it, like 8 months ago or so, you were, you know, looking this stuff up online. Somehow we popped up. You saw Group Home Riches and you're like, oh man, I know people that do this. And then you started clicking around and got the gold course. What were some of like your first kind of reservations or like questions that you had, like, in the very...
Yeah, the biggest thing was like the laws, of course, right? Because that's the first thing I think everybody thinks, like, oh, I can't do this. Like, it's going to be a problem. But that's basically, you know, what was holding me back. And then just like the operations of it, right? Like, I had an idea. I know how they work, but I don't really know, like, the guest agreement, right? Like, I didn't really have an idea like that stuff, like the moving parts, right? So just right there, like, that guest agreement is, you know,
it's huge, pays, right?
For the course. Yeah, that pays for the course right there.
That's one of the examples I give to people, like, all right, look, eventually you're going to need a tenant agreement. You know, save money. You pay a lawyer a couple $100 to draft something up, or you could use the one that, you know, Andy's already paid for. So,
exactly.
Yeah. And that's kind of like the glue that holds everything together. So for the folks out there that might be new to the content, or, you know, new to the idea, or just kind of researching this stuff, we're talking about the tenant agreement in the gold course. We call it the licensee agreement, but we've kind of changed the title because it confuses people. But this is one of those main points. A lot of, especially if people have done real estate stuff before, like they've been a landlord and they've gone through the eviction process, this stuff terrifies them because they've evicted people that were like qualified at first, right? And now we're telling them, like, hey, you know, for a sober living, for example, you're taking these guys that they're trying to get clean and they probably don't have a good, you know, credit history. They might have criminal background, probably not employed, right? And then they're just imagining 10 to 12 guys like this in their property with leases. And no, we don't lease. We don't lease the property. All we're doing is simply licensing space to them, very similar to like an Airbnb or a hotel. So yeah, that's one of those first kind of reservations, right? Like, you probably remembered yourself, right? Like,
yeah,
I don't want to have 10 guys like my old me in here that I might have to evict, right?
Yeah,
and then eviction, exactly. You know, that could be a 6 to 12 month process, right? So, yeah, like all these reservations that people have out there, you know, it's obviously been thought through, and we kind of have a system in place pretty much for everything. So,
yeah.
You kind of understood a little bit since you've lived in the properties, you have friends that do it. You figured out like the legal stuff. Why don't we talk about the licensing thing? So what type of license did you need to apply for?
So New Jersey is a little different. Okay. So yeah, let me get into this part.
Yeah.
So when I first got into it, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to jump into it and, you know, fly under the radar, as you say, right? Which was great. I was flying on the radar. My neighbors are cool. You know, no problems. Still no problems, really. Well, with my neighbors anyway. But in New Jersey, of course, because New Jersey has their hand in your pocket for everything, they actually created a Class F license. Now, this is basically ran by the DCA, which also governs over like boarding homes and like group homes, etc. So I actually connected with a couple other guys in North New Jersey area that have homes, and they were telling me about it. I was like, you know what, let me do the right thing. Let me get this Class F license, right? So I started going through the process of doing that. So I think it's like $1,600 or something, all said and done, for the license. And then they come and do inspections, just really stuff you don't need. Basically, it's just the same thing as if you were to rent out a property, like a fire inspection. It's the same thing. It's just pretty pointless, actually. I was under the impression that this Class F license would protect me in New Jersey, right? Which it is supposed to do. That's why they're there. And that's why they created this, because they need these homes, and they created it for this, which the people at the DCA are great. Like, they're very helpful. They really want these houses to go smoothly. Unfortunately, the local municipalities are not on board all the time, right? So what happened when I got the Class F? Now, the local fire department has to come do the inspection, for the safety inspection, whatever. So when I did that, that basically let the town of West Caldwell, where I'm at, let them know that what was going on. So now they know that I have a CSR home. So they have no idea what a CSR home. They have no idea about any of this stuff. So immediately, I was trying to connect with the fire chief. So I went down and seen him, told him what I was doing. Immediately, the secretary in there was like, you know, we don't allow group homes. We don't allow boarding homes. I was trying to explain to her, you know, this is not that. It's a CSR home. And this Class F license specifically says there's no change in use. It stays a single family residence. So 100% that I am in the right legally, but they just don't really know about it. And they think it's boarding home, basically. So anyways, to get that fire inspection was like pulling teeth. Like, I was emailing them, I was calling them, this and that. And finally, I called the state fire guy. And yeah, he called down to the local guy, and they were out there the next day. So, you know, it kind of shows like they were just basically giving a runaround. So yeah, I went through this big process. And unfortunately, I had the license on my wall. I have it in hand, fully licensed through the state. But I still had a zoning violation sent to me saying that they don't allow group homes or whatever, or CSR homes or whatever it was. I forgot exactly what it said, but so they only gave me 10 days to respond, which was incorrect as well. Actually, by law, you have 20 days. So anyways, I was out of town at this time, and I didn't have time to address it. So basically, at the point I'm at now, I had to hire a lawyer. I had to hire a zoning lawyer, and she basically opposed the zoning violation. So when she did that, we got a letter back saying that, you know, we have to go in front of the board, a couple other things. So that's kind of where I'm at now. But there's actually a state law in New Jersey that is specifically for this. And she was saying, she put it on there. I can't think of the law right now, but it's statewide, supposedly. So like you say, it's a disability thing. And then also when this happened, I put a complaint in with HUD automatically. And actually, I got a meeting. They're calling me tomorrow, HUD, because they're discriminating against disability, right? So there we go. I got these legal things going on right now, unfortunately, which it should not be going on. Yeah, man, it's unfortunate that they feel that way. Because, you know, I'm in a nicer neighborhood, but these guys in my house, right? It's surprising. I have an ex-police officer in there. I have a guy that was a VP of a large company, lost everything, right? Starting over. Another kid, his dad is like the prosecutor of a neighboring county. A lot of these kids like this, like, you know, if you have a house in, let's say, a rougher neighborhood, they're not all of them will be comfortable going to houses like that. So you kind of need both houses, I would say, because, you know, it's something they need in their community. You know, it's just unfortunate.
Yeah. Sober living is one of those niches where in the general population, you know, just offering affordable housing, like the kind of typical model that we talk about, we normally recommend going in like a class neighborhood. So it's mm-hmm. affordable for you. It's affordable for the folks that you're passing them on to. They're usually trying to pay with like SSI or SSDI, or we're working with nonprofits that kind of have limited budget, right? With mm-hmm. the sober living niche, that's one where we'll go in like a little nicer neighborhood. That is one where we will collect rent, kind of we'll let people that are like self-pay. It's typically like a co-signer though. Like maybe it was usually like younger guys and their mm-hmm. parents are paying for it.
Yep.
Little nicer property, you know, nicer finished and everything like that. So to your point, it is one of those niches where you could kind of get like a nicer property. You could do nicer amenities, things like that. Extreme example, you know, think of like the real nice houses in the Hollywood Hills where like celebrities mm-hmm. to get sober. That's an extreme example of what we're talking about. So you bring up a really good point. Actually, there's this gray area when it comes to licensing. So mm-hmm. in the Gold Course, you know, we talk about the federal, like the fair housing laws. We talk about what happens when a local town or zoning committee or what have you does discriminate against these types of properties. But that still doesn't always stop them from discriminating, which is what you're going through now. So that's interesting. So
yeah,
you have a lawyer now. The zoning board is giving you trouble. The neighborhood that the property in, like what class of neighborhood would you call that? Is that like an A class neighborhood or?
I'm not really familiar with that, but I guess upper middle class, I would say. So we have neighboring neighborhood, like towns like Essex Fells is right there, Caldwell. Like these are definitely Essex Fells is probably one of the richest towns in New Jersey, Caldwell as well. So mm-hmm. It's definitely nice apartment.
And you actually went through with the licensing process, which it doesn't sound like that licensing wasn't too like kind of cumbersome. It didn't seem like you just kind of pay the fee and what did you need to do?
Yeah. Yeah. It's not bad. It's not bad at all. You basically pay the fee. I was dragging my feet. Like, I think if you really get on it, you probably could get it done within like 4 to 6 weeks. It took me probably more like 12 weeks. Yeah. Because, you know, they make you jump through some hoops. It's not crazy, but yeah, I got it done. So I'm glad I got it.
What's crazy to me, and I'm sure your lawyer kind of holds the same view, is the fact that you went through the licensing process and then they were like, oh no, you can't do that.
That's the thing. Like, you know, it's
wild.
It makes no sense. Like, why does this license exist for? You know, it's just backwards. But
and it's just, it's on its face. On its face, it's discrimination. So I'm guessing, I mean, there's frat houses, I'm sure, right? There's young kids living in that community, like, you know, with roommates or private rooms. But the fact that you're housing people that are trying to get sober, they say, no, you can't do that.
Right, exactly. So
if you go on the Gold Course in the legal section, have you ever heard the interview with the lawyer that's a Gold Course member? Her name's LaTanya.
Oh yeah. I actually talked to her directly. Nice. Yeah. She's been great. It's funny because I was, you know, I filled my house up in 45 days and I was like, you know, I wanted to get more houses. I wasn't in a position to buy them, but I was wanted to lease like you guys teach. Mm-hmm. So actually I found a great property in Montclair, which is like a couple towns over. It was beautiful, two family, five bedrooms on each side. So I could have put like 20 guys in there, you know? So I got a interview. I got a meeting with the owner and like we were in talks, everything was going great. And he's like, yeah, I want a letter from a lawyer. So I was like, all right, let me call the attorney. So anyways, I did all this. I got a letter for her and yeah, last minute he backed out. It was really, really disappointing, but yeah. So she was great though. I'm really glad I got to meet her.
Yeah. If you go into that section, she used to work for HUD and in the section, there's a letter that was sent out to, you know, all like the county zoning officials, like HUD basically like, you know, lashing these people. It's all political legalese speak, right? But you can hear them say like, look, if you break these laws, if you discriminate, like this is what's going to happen. And you can read in the Gold Course too, there's like multiple case history of where local zoning officials have, in my opinion, they're discriminating against you and your tenants. And, you know, they lose, you know, multi-million dollar settlements. So they're walking on, they're walking on thin ice. But just for the folks listening out there, here's where kind of like the gray area is. Yeah, you do have the law on your side. There are these federal laws to prohibit discrimination, but also kind of do a little bit of due diligence in your area and kind of see if there is a history, you know, of the county doing this or like the neighborhood, you know, the HOAs doing stuff like this and like shutting down properties like that are, you know, sober living properties or transitional homes, things like that. Our kind of overall view of it is like, yeah, the law is on our side, but we want to be business owners. We want to be operators. We don't want to be like in court all day long. Mm-hmm. Right. Jonathan's going through that now, which I did not know about when I asked that question, but it's a good, a really good learning experience for the folks listening out there. So you definitely have to keep us updated on that so we can.
Yeah. 100%. But so actually where I'm at right now is my lawyer just told me she's a zoning lawyer. She said, so this is like her idea. Like she wants to go in front of the board and be like, hey, West Caldwell, this is what we're going to do for you. P.S. There's a investigation against you for HUD right now. They're investigating you.
Yeah.
But what she wants to do is, yeah, she wants to turn my house into affordable living or affordable housing. So basically, I guess a lot of these towns have pressure to have so much affordable housing. So that's one option I'm going over right now to actually turn my house into an affordable living or housing for the city, I guess you could say. So, I mean, I might go that way. I got to talk with her more, but I think it's all going to work out, really. It's just unfortunate, you know, you have to go through basically nothing.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Maybe you might have a settlement on your hands, but...
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, I feel like, you know, these towns really need to know that they... You know, it's not right what they're doing, and they have to be held accountable, correct? So, yeah,
it's just like take a step back and just think about this. John's in an area where there's frats living together, sororities, young professionals, roommates with no issues. He goes through the legal process, actually plays ball, and now they say, oh, because you're housing this type of person, like. You can't do that. It's on its face is discrimination. And just, you know, this is my opinion. I'm not a lawyer. It just seems like not morally correct, in my opinion. I mean, that's why, I mean, we never had to do this, but Andy's kind of had little back and forths with code too. They never really like, they never followed through with stuff. He just kind of lets them know via email, like what, you know, what the laws are and that he's ready to fight it. And they've always backed off. He would go to the news. Think of that.
Right.
A guy gets his life on track, becomes sober, you know, starts his own sober living facilities, helping all these people out, offering affordable housing, which is in massive demand anyways. And very few people are willing to do what you're doing. And then the city's messing with them. It's really bad PR in my example. Yeah. In my opinion. So Yeah, we will definitely have to get like an update on this, because it's, as you know, it's one of the most common first questions, is probably what your wife was worried about. And even you said it was like the first thing that you were wondering, like, hey, is this legal? You know, what license do I need to get, et cetera. So we'll need to get it back.
Yeah, I have a friend. He has about 10 houses in Elmwood Park, New Jersey, right? And Elmwood Park, like, embraced him, like, no problems, right? He's got the Class F. They love him. Now, he just opened up a house in Paterson, New Jersey. I don't know if you heard of Paterson, but it's a rougher neighborhood. And he got a zoning violation in Paterson. And a couple days later, the zoning guy got arrested for corruption, basically. So it's just backwards, man.
That's the thing for folks to kind of... One, you want to educate yourself and know what these laws are and kind of understand the laws themselves. Then just understand, like, hey, just because someone works for the government, or like, it doesn't mean that what they're doing is right. Like, local officials violate federal laws all the time. And we have a ton of cases of this in the Gold Course. There's actually like a legal letter in there that we had LaTanya draft for us that you guys can use as a first line of defense. 9 times out of 10, whenever any of our students or anybody goes through with this, usually they back off. So, John, this is the first time that I've heard like the local kind of zoning officials like actually like fight it. So I'm curious to hear what happens.
Yeah, I'll definitely keep you up there for sure.
All right, awesome. So let's kind of rewind a little bit. Let's go back to just kind of how you got started, like the first steps that you did. So you got the first property, and that was just a purchase?
Yeah, so we found the house, and it was an old lady that lived in it. She was actually born in the back house like 90 years ago. And she basically, it was like a farm back in the day. And she owned like, I guess, basically the whole neighborhood. Yeah, so she basically started selling off like little pieces, and that's how the neighborhood was actually built. It's kind of interesting. But she lived there for so long and really let the property go. So it was definitely a fixer-upper. So we actually renovated it and, you know, did a lot of work to it, and we're still doing work to it. But the houses are good, but the yard still needs some work and stuff. But yeah, we found a really good, it's really good. It was like a unique property, as they say, because it's on an acre of land. There's two single family houses on it. So it was really nice.
Did you find it on the MLS, or was it an off market deal?
Yeah. So we got lucky. It was on the MLS, but see, it was listed as a single family home. Yeah. So like, if you were just to look at it, you wouldn't know there's two houses on it unless you really went into the listing. So I think that's kind of how we got lucky, because we were right there, like in that boom right before the interest rates went up. Because we were looking before, we lost a few houses because of bidding wars and stuff. So, you know, my wife was like, you know, we want this house. So we actually offered them over asking, and they went for it. So we got it. It was great.
Beautiful. It was a fixer-upper. After all said and done, like, if it's rehab, you'll probably have like quite a bit of equity in it, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I got to get appraised. But yeah, we put new roofs. We put new kitchens, new bathrooms. We added a bathroom. Yeah, new flooring. You know, we really made it nice. So put a lot of work into it. Master bedroom as well. So,
how many total bedrooms?
Yeah, the one in the front, which is the CSLR home, is 3-1, and we added a half, so it's a 3-1.5. But I made the dining room into a room as well. So technically, it's 4 rooms and it's 1.5 baths. Like I said, DCA came out, and basically what they do is they measure the square footage for each person. So I think it's like 80 feet per person. I had one small room I was kind of worried about, but she said, yeah, you could put 2 guys in here, no problem. So I put a bunk bed in there, and yeah, that's all they really look for, that and like fire stuff, you know, egress windows. But she said I could put 10 guys in there if I wanted to, but I'm not going to. It's a little tight, so.
So it's a 4-bedroom. And then on the second property, is that, are you kind of doing the house hacking and living in that other one?
Yeah. So that's the beauty of it. So I live in the back, and that we made into a 3-2. It was a 2-1. So we made it into a 3-2.
Okay. That's awesome. So how did you find your tenants? what was the marketing like?
Yeah, so I got a lot of these guys asking me on the Facebook group, which is great too. It's a great great place to be. So basically, like I say, man, I just followed you guys' teachings, you know. I started doing email blasts. It's crazy because the first email I sent out, I got a response, like the first one. So I was like, as soon as I got that back, I was like, oh, this is great. So I literally sent out one email and got a response. And then after that, I started sending out more. And then that kind of just grew. And plus, I'm also in the recovery community as well. So I kind of have a little advantage there because I already knew, you know, a lot of the people in recovery. So basically, you know, I just started networking. And like, I go to like these networking meetings, like get togethers, like whatever I could do. You know, I bring brochures, I bring business cards, whatever. I hit up all the treatment centers, all the detoxes, you know, what you guys teach. You know, that's basically the secret to it. And, you know, the more you do, the more you're going to get. And truth be told, I haven't done a whole lot. Like, I definitely do a lot more, but that just goes to show you like how much need there is for this, right?
Just roughly, how many total emails do you think you sent out?
Probably not even, I think all together, probably like 100, maybe less, like not that many. Like you guys teach, I know you guys like what, thousands.
That's like, it's insane. Did you do any phone marketing or anything like that? Or is it strictly?
None of that.
Yeah, so that's crazy. Yeah. It's just to show the demand out there, guys. So 100 emails is.
Yeah.
Just the way marketing generally works across all industries, if you sent 100 emails and 20 people even opened that email, that's considered good. And if 3% of those opens, you know, click on your website and go to check it out, that's considered phenomenal. But John sent 100 emails and basically, you know, filled up the property, which is...
Yeah. Yeah, I filled it up in 45 days. Yep, sure.
Yeah, so this is why we say eventually you kind of just, if you do ramp up the marketing and kind of like, you know, imagine if you had like 1,000 contacts and you were sending an email every single week and you had like a virtual assistant calling all those people and you had like a website with like Google Ads running and search engine optimization. It's like eventually it becomes... You know, a lot of people just have to turn that stuff off because they're just getting too many calls and they can't get enough properties. But, you know, that's a good problem to have in business, right?
Yeah, I just saw me another contact and he's like, yeah, I can send you 7 to 15 guys a month.
Yeah, that's like, a property every single month.
Yeah, man. So like, yeah, I really want to grow this thing. It's just the kind of, so this is unfortunate, the situation I'm in right now. I really got to like get that concreted down. But yeah, man, sky's the limit for sure.
100%. Yeah, I'm sure your lawyer's on it, but double check that stuff in like the legal section. You know, maybe you could just talk some sense into the officials and like let them know, like, hey, this is what could happen. Like, I am prepared to fight this thing. You're in clear violation of the federal, you know, housing laws. Most of the times they'll back off. This is one of the first times I've heard of them like actually pursuing it, but it's like you said, it's that East Coast stuff, Jersey.
Yeah, that's the thing. It has a lot to do with Jersey, man. It's a lot different for sure.
Yeah, they're my brother operate. He doesn't do group home stuff. He's just like a landlord, you know, regular real estate in upstate New York, and the hoops they make this guy jump through is insane. So.
Yep.
Definitely for the folks listening out there, you know, understand your rights, but also do the due diligence and try to see like what type of history does an area have, because yeah, the law is on your side, but you don't want to be battling these people. You want to be, you know, helping your tenants, right? Mm-hmm. So let's talk about them for a little bit. So you have so it's a sober house. You talked about the profiles a little bit, but the license that you have, are you performing any like services for the folks or is it just the housing?
No, just the housing. So only thing I do is I work with some IOPs. It's called intensive outpatient. So basically, say a guy has a problem with alcohol or drugs, right? He's like, I need help. So he'll go to detox, usually for 3 to 5 days or whatever it is to get over the physical stuff. And then from there, they'll go to treatment for 28 days, usually maybe longer. And then from there, they recommend sober living. Really, the success rate comes go to sober living for at least a year, because it gets the guys away from, if they were to go back to their old setting, right? They just get back in with the old crowd and just start doing the same thing over, right? So they suggest that you go to sober living for a year. And, you know, when they come to my house, usually I work with the treatment centers and I'll send them to, you know, IOP, which basically is they're still in treatment, but they live at my house, right? So they go 9 hours a week, 3 times a week. And then, you know, they also work the program of AA or NA. And yeah, man, they live as a family, and they really hold each other accountable, and they trying to change their lives and starting over, basically. So I'm glad I have the spot for them, and it's a nice, stable place and safe. And, you know, I got a good group of guys in there, and they're really doing well. So I'm glad to see it, you know?
So that's a really good example of outsourcing for the folks out there listening. So you'll notice that Jonathan really just provides the housing, just provides the beds. And then they're working their program, you know, AA. Then you get them, you kind of just refer them to the, what was it? The inpatient
unit? Yeah, IOP. So it's intensive outpatient. So basically it's just treatment, but they live at my house. So they stay 10 hours a week.
Okay.
Intensive outpatient is they live at my house, but they go to treatment 9 hours a week, which is, I have a few of them by my house, so it's close. It's nice cool. for them. Yeah.
So that's an example of, again, outsourcing. So Jonathan did kind of play ball with, you know, the local city and got the license that was required, but he's not licensed to, you know, provide, you know, counseling or this medical service or anything like that. Way less intensive. He just kind of basically just focusing on the housing. And I'm sure, you know, just the folks living with you, they get just the additional kind of personal touch from you because you kind of been in their shoes. So I'm sure they love that.
Yeah. You know, I got an advantage because I live on the property and, you know, I'm real hands on and it's good. It works out. You know, I got a good eye on what's going on. But like right now I'm out of town. So, you know, my guy has been there the longest. He was actually one of my first guys. So he's been there almost 8 months. While I'm gone, you know, I got him watching over things. And so it's good. Like if I do have to leave or whatever, you know, I got a house manager that will take care of things, you know?
Beautiful. Do you provide anything else at the house? Do you do food or
anything? No. We don't, basically we do buy paper towels, toilet paper, cleaning supplies. That's pretty much it. But, you know, I have a little gym in there. I got a laundry room. Nice. They can do their own laundry. Yeah. So, yeah, but they're responsible for their food and their hygiene and all that. So, well, we do have bedding. You know, we give them all the bedding and all that stuff. So,
are they self-pay or are you getting paid like through SSI, SSDI organizations, or is it mainly self-pay?
Yeah. So in Jersey, we have foundations, right? So, one of them is called Sober Living Gift Cards, right? So a lot of these, they're nonprofits. So what they do is if a guy is out of treatment and he's struggling and he needs help to get on his feet or get into a sober living home, they actually will send me a check to get them in the door. And then from there, basically give them a little time to get on their feet, get a job, you know, get going, which has worked out well because a couple guys came in with no jobs and they all got jobs. But I haven't really gotten the SSI part or that part, but all the guys are working. And so it's nice for this foundation to help them out, you know.
Excellent. So that's a nice little system for, you know, again, for new listeners out there. Most of the time, you know, you have the tenant agreement that protects you. Like in case anyone breaks the house rules, you basically just kick them out, which is, you know, similar to a hotel. And then, of course, you're not chasing these people down for rent directly. It's usually going to be coming from, you know, like a nonprofit, like John just mentioned, or if it's SSI, SSDI, like, you know, in the other demographics, we teach ways to kind of get a guaranteed check kind of indirectly from the government. Now, with Andy's sober living properties, though, he would kind of allow the guys to self-pay, but it was typically coming from, like, an approved co-signer, like, you know, typically, right. like, their parents. And those houses were, like, those were the cash cows, because it was kind of standard in that demographic. Like, it was accepted to kind of be, like, bunk beds. And you can go over your numbers if you want. But on his sober living property, he would get, the bed price was around $700 or $800 per bed, and it was bunk beds, so he was generating like almost $3,000 per bedroom, which was just.
Yeah. And this is in Texas.
Yeah, that's in Central Texas, and again, this is where you kind of have to, you know, obviously know the laws and then know like kind of just how things play in the local area. Those homes were in places where like they didn't really have like the restrictive occupancy laws.
Right.
And it was just kind of in that industry, it was just kind of accepted. And it was a lot, it was kind of short term. Like the guys were only there a couple months. So I'm not sure. Like you just do, is it just shared like roommates or do you do?
Yes. Yeah. I got one small room I have a bunk bed in, and then the rest is twin. But yeah, so my pricing in North Jersey, it's pretty expensive up here. So I'm like in the middle because they have Oxford Homes. You've probably heard of them. They're like mm-hmm. the name brand of sober living homes. They operate with impunity, basically. And they lease their homes, actually. So like an Oxford House in East Orange, right, which is by Newark, which is like a little rougher neighborhood, they get like $180 a week. I get $225 a week. But I know of homes that are a little nicer than mine that get $300 a week. You know what I mean? So,
wow.
And they're filled up. And then another home charges $1,800 just to get in the door. And, you know, this guy's staying full, you know? So it really depends on what area you're in and how nice your house is, I believe, in this. Because, you know, a lot of these kids, you know, their parents are doctors or lawyers or union workers, you know, like, yeah. So, like, it's like what demographic you're going for, right? So.
Yeah, so the sober living niche is like people always ask us, hey, what niche pays the most? I would say sober living is in general, like about 80 to 90% of our homes are just like, you know, we get like 600, it's around $600 per bed and a shared living. But the sober living is one of those niches where you can kind of, like we mentioned earlier, you could be in a nicer area, kind of a nicer home. You may be dealing with co-signers, you may be dealing with people that come from like different, more upscale backgrounds. So you can, that's the answer. This is like the high paying niche, if you will. So,
yeah.
And I always like to use the extreme example just to kind of give folks an idea. Like think about celebrities that go to rehab and then they need to go to like, you know, they'll go live in like a mansion, which is like, it's a quote unquote sober living property at the end of the day, but they're paying like, you know, $10,000 per month or something absurd right. like that. So, mm-hmm. hey, that's the highest paying niche. Go to Hollywood and get a mansion mm-hmm. and get celebrities trying to get sober. So
definitely.
That sounds like pretty good revenue then. So you're getting around like $1,900 per month per bedroom. It sounds like roughly. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Sure. And it's nice because, it pays my mortgage, pays my bills. So that's the advantage of what I got going on with two houses. So, yeah, it's working out very well.
With the property that you have, is it two mortgages or do you pay the same mortgage?
No, it's one mortgage. Yep. So it pays the mortgage and some, you know what I mean?
What a nice house hack right there.
Yeah.
Do you do this full time or do you have a job on top of this?
So I'm an entrepreneur. I have a couple other businesses, but actually I'm probably going back to work full time for a friend of mine. But I have the option, you know, like because like I said, it can run itself. So I have choices, I guess you could say. So right now I got the house and I'm doing a couple of side businesses, but that's pretty much it right now. But I am thinking about going back full-time work.
How many of these would you need to have to like not need to work?
Yeah, as soon as I got this course, I was like, I put that goal. I was like, I want 10 homes. You know what I mean? I think 10 homes, I'd be sitting lovely, right? So that's where I'm at. I still want to do that. It's just I got that little speed bump going now. But like I'm confident I can fill them up, you know what I mean? I'm very confident in that. But unfortunately, I'm not really in the position to buy right now, so I might have to lease. But if I could buy that, you know, that would be a dream, you know?
Well, here's the thing and why we say eventually you become a real estate investor. I mean, all the landlords, you know, the people that get a ton of properties, they have to get creative with it too. It's not like everybody that is a landlord just has millions of dollars in cash sitting around. You know, they're scrapping, you know, they're trying to get by. They need to go, you know, you guys may need to pitch your idea to a landlord, right? They need to go pitch their idea and themselves to, you know, private equity or hard money lenders. So, you know, where the position you're in, I always recommend for everybody out there, hey, start going to like local real estate meetups. It's a great way to kind of, you talk about leasing, right? I don't even think like that. Think bigger. Like go try to find a partner, but go try to find someone that has access to capital, that has, right, you know, access maybe to a couple properties, right? And work something out with them. You may be able to get a couple properties to operate out of. And that could be a good business relationship to eventually, you know, have someone to finance it. Like you, because eventually each bank is different, but they're typically going to cap you at like two or three properties anyways.
Mm.
So that's, you kind of have to go off market to find private, you know, private financing and stuff like that eventually anyways. So
definitely.
Yeah. That's stuff we can, you know, shoot me some messages if you want more information on that. But obviously sure, there's the legal stuff, how to get the county off of your back. Oh, yeah. Man, I'd reach out to the local news. That's just what.
Yeah.
That's how we do it. It's like, think of the PR story. You know, this
true
guy got sober. He's helping sober people and himself. And then you guys are, you're violating the law, shutting me down, not causing any problems, right? No complaints from the neighbors.
No.
Yeah, it's wild. So I look forward to hearing how that goes. So just moving, you know, moving forward, like where do you see yourself? What's the next couple? What's the next plan next year or two? Where do you kind of see yourself with this?
Yeah, you know, I got to get over the speed bump or whatever, but like you said, I'm gonna definitely work on getting more properties, however that comes. Like, I'll look into the real estate meetups. Hopefully, I can meet some people. So, you know, I gotta get on that. But yeah, with, you know, like I said, I am gonna have 10 homes. It's just, it wasn't the same timeline I was thinking, but you know, that's where I want to be. You know, and this is something that for a guy like me, and you know, it's just something that is just so attractive, you know, and that eventually I can be sitting back and letting it run itself and helping people at the same time. It's just, and it's like very doable, you know what I mean? Like a lot of these things you see on the internet or whatever, like it's, you know, this and that, like, you know, but it's not really realistic, right? But this 100% is, and it's the real deal. So, yeah, I love it.
Yeah, and Jonathan's a walking testament to that. Just a couple months after getting the gold course, he was rocking and rolling. And, you know, the other stuff, real estate investing, that's competitive, man. Like you guys want to do real estate or wholesaling, you're competing with folks like me and Andy and Robert Kiyosaki, right? Like, there's a ton of competition, and it's kind of slim pickings. You know, how many people out there want to sell a property for pennies on the dollar? Not that much. This is kind of the opposite. There's like so much need for it. So many people want this type of housing. There's so much like funding that goes into it. And there's just not a lot of people that are kind of willing to do it. So yeah, if you get in there, you kind of do what we teach. It's very doable to, you know, have a nice little cash flowing business within a couple months, like Jonathan did. And
sure.
And as you know, we're always here. We're always ready to answer your emails. We want to see you guys do even bigger. So
yeah.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to do a part two to kind of hear about your win with the local county and kind of how you got them off of your back. And yeah, look forward to seeing like the kind of the real estate stuff pop off for you. So
yeah, for sure.
Where can the folks, if they you have any questions for you, they want to connect with you, where can they find you?
Yeah, so I'm on the Facebook group, Jonathan Runke, Runke. I had a few people reach out to me. I can help you with any questions you got or whatever. Also, my website is strouthouse.com. It's spelled out strouthhouse.com. That's another thing with the website. Like, if I was you, like, just get the Gold Course website, right? Because, like, I'm kind of technically advanced or whatever, but, like, I'm like, you know, I'm just going to make my own. But, like, man, I was there for, like, hours. I was like, you know, it's just, I should have just paid you guys and had it done. You know what I mean?
Man, the reason we have that, the reason we have that is because I went through it with websites. Yeah. Like, I remember it was a previous business before the real estate stuff, and it took up like a whole week of like when I should have been focusing on the business, right? And I'm going through this frustrating process, like wanting to break my computer, and like
100%. Just go through them and get it done. That's it.
Yeah. In real estate investing, there's this service called, I think it's called like OnCarrot or something like that. But they make it really easy. You just get a template, you're hosting your domain, it's all done. We've kind of replicated that. So, you know, we make it really easy for folks that want a website. It literally, you click a button, you fill out a form, and you're done. So,
yeah, beautiful. Yes.
Yeah. Well, Jonathan, awesome, man. Great story. Like I said, I knew it was going to be inspiring just based off of our emails. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing. And we'll have to do a part two here soon. So
for sure.
For folks out there, maybe you just kind of stumbled on this. This is the first time hearing about us. Head to grouphomeriches.com. Sign up for the free 5-part guide. We're just going to kind of, over a couple of days, you're going to get a free course that'll kind of answer the most common questions that are probably running through your brain right now. How do you get paid? Is it legal? Systems you can put in place? All that good stuff. If it does sound like something that you really want to get going with, you're serious about it, bare minimum, sign up for the Gold Course. We've already talked about, you know, a couple of the ways that it's helped John out. I mean, he also mentioned the Facebook group. At the time of recording, the Facebook group is included with the course purchase. And I'm telling you guys, that Facebook group is off the chain. You know, you could talk with people like John. A lot of our podcast guests are on there. They're very active. You can honestly probably learn everything that you need to know from that Facebook group. So really cool community we got on there. And yeah, if you guys have any questions, we're always here to help. Reach out. And yeah, John, thank you so much. We'll have to do a part two here soon.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. It was a pleasure.
All right, man. Thank you so much. Right. Have a great night.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.